Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
It's all part of the talk show announcer exchange program. He is one of the best in the business, without question. That's one thing about hearing Sirius. You hear all the good stuff all the time. And Bill Riley is one of the best. He is the voice of Utah football. Bill, great to talk with you again.
You are too kind, Steve Jones. The check is in the mail.
Anytime. And I do take direct deposit. All right, so... Bill, I want to go back a year ago, and I don't mean the Rose Bowl. I want to go back to the beginning of last season. Charlie Brewer transfers in from Baylor. He is the starting quarterback. Kyle then decides to make the big move, and he inserts Cam Rising at quarterback, and Charlie eventually transfers and ends up at Liberty. What did Cam Rising bring to the table that was immediately apparent that it was the right move?
Let's go even a year further back to the COVID year, Steve, of 2020. Cam Rising was the starting quarterback. He was the guy, but on the third series of the first game against USC, he dives on a loose ball and tears his labrum on his throwing shoulder. So he's out, and Jake Bentley gets inserted. It was a disaster. Bentley had transferred in from South Carolina. But Rising had won the job in 2020. They loved him. He had transferred in from Texas, sat out for a year. The reason he doesn't get the start last year is they're not sure if he's completely healthy. They're not sure if he's got full strength back in his arm. And he and Charlie Brewer are neck and neck in fall camp. They went with Brewer because they knew Brewer was healthy and he had 3 years of starting experience at Baylor. Didn't make Cam Rising happy, but he stayed. And then 2.5 games in, Brewer was kind of a square peg in a round hole. He had never taken a snap under center in his life. Andy Ludwig's offense is kind of a combination of under center, shotgun stuff. And they put Rising in. Rising was a team captain, even though he didn't start the season. Teammates loved him. In retrospect, he probably should have started from the jump. Didn't. But from the moment he goes in against San Diego State, they lose that game, but he rallies them back. They lose in overtime. They only lose one more game the rest of the regular season. They get to the Rose Bowl, the whole thing. He was an unquestioned leader. They loved him. But really the reason he didn't start last year was the shoulder injury. They just weren't sure where it was.
Bill, I just feel like every time I watch Utah play, and because it's the Pac-12, I actually get to see them play a lot. Every time I watch him play, I just feel like he gives the entire offense swagger.
It's so funny you use that word, because the game that really turned it all last year was the USC game at the Coliseum. Yep. Utah was 2-2 going in. They had won 2 weeks before against Washington State at home, but weren't very good in that game. Then the night of that Washington State game, one of the teammates was murdered. Aaron Lowe was shot to death outside of a house party by a gang member. He came out to break up a fight and got shot to death. So they go into a bye week 2-2, but not having any swagger on offense and losing a teammate. They go to the Coliseum, and then everything changes. They rout the Trojans that day, the first of their 3 in a row against USC, and it was Rising. It was Rising's game that day. His confidence, his leadership, his ability to run the ball, to throw the ball, all of it. He was kind of what they needed. He was the swagger they needed. They got their swagger that day, and it was on the back of Cam Rising, and they've kind of followed him in the year since then.
Dalton Kincaid came in from the University of San Diego, not San Diego State, and made a real mark there. And because of injuries, he can't play in the Rose Bowl game. When you look at the depth at tight end, what are you seeing? Because obviously Thomas Yasmin, the rugby player, has certainly been a big plus for you.
Yeah, that's been it. I mean, really, they lose two tight ends. I mean, Brant Keithy was actually the guy. He was kind of an in-betweener. He was playing a little wide receiver. He's kind of that hybrid. Kincaid was more of a true tight end, kind of in the Travis Kelce mode. And so, you know, he's played the entire season. He's been fantastic, but he's been beat up really the last month or so. Made the decision on Sunday to heal up for the NFL draft. Nobody begrudges him that. He gave his body this year, the last couple of years for Utah. They've got, you know, they've kind of become tight end U out west here. They've got this kid, Yasmin, who had never picked up a football until 5 years ago. He's all of a sudden emerged. He's as tough as they come and is actually really good running after the catch. Got a few other guys, too, that are backups there, too. They certainly don't have the depth without Kincaid there that they did before. They've got some other guys in the pipeline. They like an awful lot. But Yasmin's probably going to be the primary guy now with Dalton Kincaid down.
I do have to ask you, I know the wide receivers are very good, especially Money Parks really impressed me in the championship game. But Curtis Enos' son is there, and of course I know Kurt, and that's Solomon Enos. What kind of job's he done? I looking at the numbers, it looks like he's been not great but solid.
I think that's a perfect way to describe him, Steve. He came in out of Arizona. He's Curtis's son. Was a four-star kid out of the state of Arizona. He's come into the program, played here for 4.5 years. Been a really good teammate, a solid wide receiver. I'll tell you where he's best. He blocks like nobody's business. I mean, his dad would have loved to have had him blocking on sweeps on the outside. The kid is physical. Yeah. He's tough. Solid wide receiver. Doesn't wow you with his physical traits. He's not going to beat you deep. He's a solid route runner. Catches the ball when they throw it to him. But, yeah, that's Curtis's kid on this team. He's probably their third wide receiving option. Devon Vele's number one, super athletic kid on the outside, former walk-on. You mentioned Money Parks, an emerging talent. He's going to be really, really good. And then Enos is probably the third wide receiver when it comes to playmaking and catching the football.
Obviously, you know, after around the Oregon game, Thomas drops out after getting hurt. And Bernard's been good, but Jackson gave this off. He's had 200-yard rushing games here down the stretch for them. What kind of jump has he added at the running back spot?
Well, he basically fills the void left by Tavion. Thomas was so good a year ago, Steve, but he had a bunch of off-field things. And namely, there was a death in the family this year, an aunt very close to him that helped raise him. And he really never got back mentally, and then he hurt himself late. And so he's, you know, as much as they wanted him to be part of it this year, he's been so in and out that he hasn't been. So you mentioned JaQuindon Jackson. He was a four-star quarterback coming out of high school, Dallas area kid. Went to the University of Texas, way down on the depth chart, decides to transfer because Ty Jordan and Aaron Lowe, the two young men who were killed in the last 2 years, were here. They were friends of his from high school. So he comes in here. He battles for the backup quarterback spot to Rising, loses out. So what usually happens, Steve, in this day and age when you lose, when kids today aren't given immediately what they want in college football or college basketball? Well, let's hit the transfer portal.
Yep.
JaQuindon Jackson doesn't do that. He starts chasing punts and kicks. This kid was battling to be the backup quarterback. He's a four-star kid. He gets demoted to third-string quarterback, and all he does is go out and starts chasing punts and kicks. You'll love this. So he gets in at running back in the Arizona State game, gets a few carries. The offensive coordinator, running backs coach, decide they want to give him a chance. And so he gets 7 or 8 carries, picks up 30, 40 yards. We talked to him on the post-game show, and I said to him, I said, JaQuindon, I said, you know, pretty amazing that, you know, you're getting this second chance. I said, but I said, a lot of kids would have entered the transfer portal. Why didn't you do that? He said, well, I thought about what my buddy Aaron Lowe would have done. And when Aaron came to Utah, he thought he'd be a starting corner right away. He got here for 2 years. He wasn't. He was a backup and a special teams guy. And I thought about Aaron, and Aaron didn't quit, so I wasn't going to quit on this team either. I got to tell you, it got dusty in the broadcast booth. Then I relay that message to Kyle Whittingham when we do the coaches show 2 or 3 days later. I've known Kyle Whittingham for 18 years. Yeah. He's become a little bit more emotional in his older age, as a grandfather and other things. He got choked up on the air hearing that. He's a team guy through and through. He's gotten, I mean, this kid hasn't played running back since his freshman year of high school. He's gotten better and better. He's filled the void. This kid was a quarterback to begin the year. He's now got the future. He's going to be probably running back one moving forward here for Utah, and he's gotten better and better every week. He fills the void left by Tavion Thomas. He's the big, he's 6'2", 225, runs that 4.445. You saw the championship game. He ran away in that late touchdown from the USC secondary. He's become a really good running back and a really good story, too.
Clark Phillips is one of the top players in the country. Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year has decided that he'll get ready for the draft. When you see a guy with six interceptions and only 24 tackles, that tells you after the interceptions they start throwing in his direction. So what you know, that'll be a void. So how does Utah fill that void?
Well, unlike the Rose Bowl a year ago where they asked Mekhi Bernard, the third-string running back, to play corner and try and cover Jackson Smith and Jigba, that was not a winning formula, as many saw, or Marvin Harrison Jr., or anybody that they were throwing out there. There's some depth now, and they were hurt last year. They were down, you know, they were obviously down three corners last year. One of their starting corners is going to start. That's JT Broughton. He's very good. He's the guy that gets thrown at more because they don't throw at Clark Phillips, but still very good. And then a kid that's really emerged this year that's going to be, I think, the next great Utah corner is a kid named Zamaya Vaughn. He was a walk-on to the program 2 years ago. He played high school quarterback. They saw him play high school quarterback and said, we'd love you to come to our program. He's a 4'3 kid. He's 6'1 and about 200 pounds, super long.
Wow.
He's really started the last four or five games for Utah, and it's made a huge difference in the secondary. He'll slot in to where Clark Phillips played, and then they play a three-safety look to kind of have one of the safeties almost play in the nickel spot. So they'll be okay. I mean, Zamaya Vaughn's a good player. He ain't Clark Phillips yet, but he's got a real bright future.
Kyle's been like James in that he's been very selective in the transfer portal. Part of the being selective in the transfer portal is Gabriel coming in, joining his brother, coming in from Stanford, and Mo Diabate in the middle from Florida. What have they meant to the overall look of the Utah defense?
Well, both those guys have been part of the defensive turnaround. Diabate had some struggles early playing in a new system with some new teammates. Crazily athletic, started for 2 years at Florida. They've used him to rush the passer. They've used him to play in coverage. He's very good. And then Gabe Reed was a four-year starter at Stanford. As you mentioned, his brother Kareni's a linebacker here. He's a Utah kid. Came back home for his fifth year to play. He was really beat up injury-wise during fall camp and early in the season. But they lost one of their starting ends in Van Fillinger, who's very, very good, about a month and a half in. Gabe is slot. He had been in the rotation. They slot him in as a starter. He's been fantastic. He's kind of the old man of the group at 24 years old with some of these young defensive ends. And those two transfers have been really good. They've got another kid that was a 1AA All-American at Southern Illinois named Clayton Isbell. And you'll see him a lot when they go to three safety packages. But, you know, you're right. Kyle doesn't go in there like Lincoln Riley and some of these other guys, Coach Prime, and grab 25 guys. He doesn't really need to because they've recruited well. But they've used it just the right way, plugging the right holes, and those two guys have been really key guys this year.
Finally, it's back-to-back Rose Bowls for Utah. I know they were thought of a college football playoff contender going in. So what's the viewpoint not only about going to the Rose Bowl, but the fact that Penn State's the opponent?
Well, people here are excited. They gobbled up whatever the allotment was and then some in the first win. Got to the point where you can't find flights from Salt Lake City to L.A. like 2 days after they're announced to the Rose Bowl. They couldn't be more excited. We're lucky out here, Steve, because it's about a 9.5-10 hour drive. You can break it up, stop it in Vegas, or drive all the way through. Utah fans are ecstatic. I mean, you're conference champions again. And, hey, you're going to the Rose Bowl, for goodness sake. If you're not in the playoff, be in the Rose Bowl. And Penn State, you and I talked a couple of years ago when Utah and Penn State matched up in the NIT final. Yeah. I joked with you. I said, maybe at some point in time we can meet up in football, do a home and home. Well, you and I will have to work on that with our ADs. But at some point in time, I love the fact that they're and it's Penn State's such a classic program. They are. People out here are college football fans. And going to the Rose Bowl and get to play Penn State is awesome. Ohio State was great a year ago, but to be fair, Ohio State's fans didn't travel. There was a little, you know, playoff disappointment. Until about the second half, the players didn't seem to be too into it. I don't get that sense this year, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't get the sense Penn State fans or the team is disappointed going to Pasadena.
They are thrilled. They are thrilled. I can't wait to get out there. I can't wait to get out there and also get a chance to catch up with you again face-to-face, my friend. Thank you so much for the time today. It's been a lot of fun.
Hey, Steve, thanks. Tell the Nittany Lion fans we look forward to seeing them down in Pasadena, and I'll talk to you soon.